wanted to.
I had similar thoughts to what Mark was mentioning, and I want to connect it to Joe's thought. The interesting thing is, you go through the New Testament, sexual immorality and idolatry are always connected together. And you hardly ever see them by themselves. They're always one and the other there. And I'd like to suggest to us that when it's connected to our bodies as Christians, that the reason why sex within marriage is, it's a wonderful thing, but the reason why it's so grave in God's eyes is because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we have sex outside of marriage, or if we have sex with someone who we're not married to, it's idolatry. It's committing idolatry against God. Not only is it committing sexual immorality, but it's connected to idolatry. And so when we think of that, that's a tremendous eye-opener, really. As you go through the New Testament, just mark down, every time you see sexual immorality, not too far away, usually, is this thought of idolatry. So that's why it's so important that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important that we keep our bodies pure for the Lord. The second thing I just want to mention is what we have in Romans chapter 1 about the giving up of the natural for the unnatural, and their homosexuality, and all that we have in today's society today. We want to be clear. We want to be very, very clear. We don't want to condemn anybody. But at the same time, we're only going to declare what God's word says. God loves the sinner. Christ died for the sinner. That means all sin. Immorality and homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Whatever the sin might be, God loves the sinner, and Christ died for the sinner. Mm-hmm. So this is a very important point. We're not homophobic. We're only declaring what God's word says. And this is very, very important that we make this clear. Now, having said that, I want to just outline something that we've already had it in Romans 1. We have it again in Jude 7. We have it again in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. We have it again in Genesis 18. And we have it again in Ezekiel 16. And this is the thing that I want to underline. That God, in throughout scripture, he's mentioning, and here's the beautiful thing. In 1 Corinthians, maybe we could just read that just for a second. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. And I'll just read it for brevity. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will enter the kingdom of God." Get ready. Here it is. "And such were some of you, but you are washed." Isn't that beautiful? So this shows us that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And just because someone may be what today, you know, we've legalized. Maybe just because someone is a homosexual, whatever it might be, or someone's in idolatry, in sexual immorality, does not mean they have to stay there. Christ forgives. And then one last thing. In Ezekiel 16, and I think this is extremely important for us to realize, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? The sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, the first thing mentioned, is not the sexual immorality or the homosexuality. Look it with me, if you would, to Ezekiel 16. Because there's five things mentioned in Ezekiel 16. And I think this comes down to this thought, they did not know God. And this is the connection. It says in Ezekiel 16, verse 49, I'll give you a chance to get there. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Look at this iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hands of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. And therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. Mm-hmm. Now, the first thing that we read about this, there's a list of five things. And the first thing was pride. Mm-hmm. Then it mentions again that they were haughty, which is pride in action. And so when you think about this thought, they did not know God. The pride of man says we don't need God. And so we don't care what God says. We don't need God. We don't want God. And we're going to do our own thing. That's pride. And that was here. The second thing is not only pride, but they had need of nothing. They thought, you know what? We got it all. We had plenty. It says the fullness of bread, the fullness of food. We've got everything we need. That describes a place I know called America. Hmm. Right? And then it says, an abundance of idleness. Now, can I just pick on the guys for a second? You girls don't mind that, do you? The abundance of idleness. How much time do we waste with the Xbox? Or whatever Mark said the other day. I had to ask him what it was because I had no idea. I do know what an Xbox is. Never played one, but I do know. But how much time do we spend in idleness? Because I'll tell you something. Idleness leads us to some of these other things. And that's why we need to occupy our time with the Lord. And then he talks about the preoccupation with self. That's idleness. And then this idea of not really caring for those that are in need. And so these things really speak to us today. But I just want to reemphasize the fact that the sexual morality and the idolatry, they go together.
A quick question. Is it possible for a true believer to be a homosexual?
Yes, it is. Just as it's, let me just, I won't leave you hanging. Just as it's possible for a true believer to commit sexual immorality. Just as it's possible for a true believer to commit any sin. A true believer could even commit murder. A true believer could commit any sin. So yes, it's possible. Is there forgiveness for that believer? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 show so.